Enjoyed that very much. Enjoyed the music this morning. Appreciate Miss McCollum playing for us this morning. I know Roberta's out of town and Miss Linda's out of town, and she's just the solo act this morning. Amen. Great job. Appreciate that very, very much. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's good to have the Treadwells back with us this morning. Our missionaries to India, Miss Elizabeth and Roger, and over in India printing Bibles and tracts and other things, and just good to have them back for a couple of months with us, and we'll talk more about them, but appreciate them, love them, and good to see them back. Got a great hug from Miss Elizabeth this morning. I'm ready to go. Well, we've had a good week. Had a good week at the Berean Baptist Church down in Burleson, the church that we are starting. And it was a great week of meetings. I believe we had about 21 first-time visitors through the week of meetings from Sunday morning to Thursday night. Had three or four of the churches involved helping us and do the meetings. And so just very excited about what God is doing down in Burleson. This is actually part of the message I preached down there on Sunday night. About 3 weeks ago, I was asked to preach out at the chapel of the Crown Southwest, the seminary, and I preached a message called Bible Ministries. Bible Ministries. Also, as I began to study the last two or three weeks, I put in our newsletter this week, and you'll be getting that this week, again, about the importance of being a Bible church, being a Bible ministry. And then again, Sunday night down in Burleson, preaching on the manuscript of the church or the foundation of the church. What is the foundation of the church? Well, the foundation of the church is the Word of God. The Word of God. Let's turn again, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore, chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I just want to pause just for a second. We'll read more in just a moment. But this again is Paul the Apostle writing to a young pastor, encouraging him, strengthening him. I want to point out verse 2 because I'm really not going to preach on it. I want to point out verse 2 again and say, preaching, he says, listen, when you're preaching, it should be a part of and should include reproving, rebuking, exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's preaching. That's preaching. Amen? For the time, verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Let's pray. We thank you again for the opportunity to meet together in your house this morning. We pray that your spirit be evident today. We pray, God, if someone's here who does not know you as personal Savior, they might accept you today. Help us, Lord, to remember and be reminded this morning that the Bible is the foundation for our church. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody has said the Bible does not need to be defended, it just needs to be proclaimed. Amen? It doesn't need to be defended, it just needs to be put out there. It needs to be proclaimed. The greatest need, listen to this now, if I say this, I mean it. The greatest need of America and the world is Christians who will live the Bible. Foundationally now, you know, I make that statement other places, the greatest need of, in the land is Jesus Christ. That's absolutely true. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Amen? He's the living Word of God. We have the written Word of God. The greatest need in America today is the Word of God and Christians who will live it. What you just imagine, though, you know, if you do the statistics, Americans are attending church less. But even with just the millions that are attending church this morning, if just those individuals who are attending church this morning would practice what is being preached, the difference that would make in America. Overnight, the difference it would make in America. The foundation, again, is the Word of God. We should know the Bible. At Heritage Baptist Church, we want you to know your Bible. We don't want you just to do it or just to believe something because a preacher said it from the pulpit. We want you to know what you believe and why. Amen? Amen. Absolutely. And we strive to do that here. Not only do we want those individuals who are members of our church and those who visit to know the Word of God, we want them to stand upon the Word of God. Stand on it. Stand on it. Today, more than ever, we need to stand upon the Word of God. It is the rock upon which we stand. It is the rock. Never changes. The same today, yesterday, and forever. The Word of God. I know it's referring to Christ, but Christ is this is the Word of God. Listen, we must stand on it. Stand up for it. Again, I don't know that it needs to be defended, but it needs to be stood upon. There's a great attack today upon the Word of God. Various translations who have missed the boat, and various preachers and scholars who would like to disclaim it, to do away with it, to take parts out of it, to do everything they can to discredit it. Let's stand upon it. The very Word of God. Not only should we know it and stand on it, but we should love it. Love it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let's hide the Word of God in our heart and love the Word of God. Again, the church is like a building. Every building needs a good foundation. You've heard this before, but when we built this building, there were 25 piers put into this building. 25 piers, 2 foot around, and about 13 feet deep. Why? Why we go to all that trouble? A guy in a little hard hat stood out here and watched every piece of rock, every pile of dirt. He watched every cement truck, everything be poured. He watched it. He was paid just to sit there and watch the cement be poured. Why? Because he knew the foundation's important. A lot of money went into the foundation. A lot of effort went into the foundation. I built my house a couple years ago. I put 41 piers under my house, a foot around, and about 13 foot deep. Why? Spent $5,000 just on piers. Why? The foundation's important. The rest of the house is nothing without the foundation being right. Especially in this black dirt around here. Useless stuff. I'd rather be up around Bowie where I'm from. We got that sandy loam and that little clay, but good dirt. Amen? Out there at Springtown, Boyd area, where the Reeds and Days live, you can go out there, and that's like digging for gold out there. That dirt's worth a lot of money. Good dirt. Why so much effort put in the foundation? Because the foundation is primary. It's important. It's the beginning. It's the starting place. The starting place needs to be correct. Needs to be right. Foundation of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Word of God. However, He's no longer here. He's in heaven. Amen? They're sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, but He didn't leave us without a foundation to work from. He left us with the Word of God. He is the living Word of God, and we have the written Word of God. And it's in your lap this morning. It's important, for without it we have nothing to build the church on. The church is built upon the Word of God. This means the Bible must be the foundation of every local church. As we look at this passage, it gives us several reasons why the Word of God must be the foundation of the church. Number one, as we look at chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul just said, hey, listen, we taught you these things. Remember these things. And that from a child thou hast known the what? The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Number one, the foundation of the church is the Word of God, because the Scriptures produce salvation. The Bible says here it's wise unto salvation. The Word of God makes us wise unto salvation. How? Because it points out our lost condition. We are lost. When we were born in this world, we are lost. The Bible says we are undone, that we are dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We have all gone astray, Isaiah says. We've gone our own way, and the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Bible points out our lost condition. By the way, you can't be saved. You can't be saved, genuinely saved, unless you know you're lost. The Bible points out our lost condition. Our lost condition. Then it leads us to faith. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. It's the Word of God that brings faith. It brings faith. It gives us faith. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's through the Word of God that brings faith. Faith to know and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, not only does it lead us to faith, but it brings us to Christ. In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How are we born again? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God brings about and produces within us a salvation. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Bible proclaims that we are lost and undone and on our way to hell unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, unless we have our sins forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible points that out. It makes us wise unto salvation, knowledgeable of salvation. Do you know the Lord as your Savior this morning? The Bible, the Word of God. Not only does the Bible point out and produces salvation, it also proceeds from the sovereign. Let's be reminded this morning, I want you to turn over there in 2 Peter, just a few pages over. 2 Peter. A few pages over in my Bible. I don't know. You got one of them study Bibles, it might take you 50 pages to get over there. 2 Peter, the Word of God must be the foundation of the church because it produces salvation and because it proceeds from the sovereign. It is God-breathed. It's the inspired Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. The Bible says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. So listen, we didn't follow fairy tales. But we saw the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw the miracles He performed. We saw Him raise the dead. We saw Him heal the sick. We saw Him heal the blind. We saw all these things. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory. Verse 17, when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in that holy mount. When they were there in that holy mount of transfiguration, they heard the voice of God. Man, that would wake you up, wouldn't it? Well, that would shuffle your heart around a little bit. You hear the voice of God come out from heaven. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We saw the miracles He performed and we heard the voice of God. We weren't following some fairy tales. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, he says, listen, in verse 19, he says, Peter says to us, he says, we saw the miracles He performed. We heard the voice of God. And in light of all of that, he says, you have it better. You have a more sure word of prophecy. You have a more sure word from God. And I'm telling you this morning, you hold it in your lap. He said, you have a more sure word of prophecy. He said, you have it better than we had it. Amen? Isn't that good? You know, as a kid especially, growing up, and I have since then wondered what it would have been like to walk with Jesus, with the apostles and the disciples. How wonderful that would have been to hear Jesus Christ speak, to see the great miracles. But listen, Peter says, you have it better. We have it better. We have a more sure word of prophecy. He says, and it's better that you take heed to it. as into a light that shineth in a dark place. We are to live it and practice it. And that day star, the sun, S-O-N, arises in our hearts. As we read the Word of God, we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures have any private interpretation. And because of lack of time, we won't go into that verse. But listen, the Bible's of no private interpretation. What does that mean, preacher? It means exactly what it says. You don't get the opportunity to interpret the way you want to, and I get the opportunity to interpret the way I want to. It has one interpretation. Amen? You can make the Bible say anything. The Bible says that Judas hanged himself and go out and do likewise. You can take two verses and make them mean anything. David Koresh did that, right? Right? You can take any verse out of context, but the Bible says of itself that it's of no private interpretation. You must always interpret Scripture in light of the river of revelation from Genesis to Exodus. From Genesis to Revelation. I could do it from Genesis to Exodus and still get the gospel and everything in there. It's great. The Word of God, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Listen, this Bible is not man-made, it's God-made. It's from the Lord. It is God-breathed, inspired, the inerrant, infallible Word of God, preserved for us. Look at 1 Peter, just a couple of pages back, and verse 24. The Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The Bible itself promises preservation. The word of God endureth forever. Up until these last few rains, the grass out here was just about done. I was thinking, no more mowing. Yeehaw. But then the rains came. You think about a flower that comes up for a little bit and puts out its flower, and then it burns up in the sun, it's gone. Man, same way. Our life is so short, but the Word of God endures forever. The Word of God is preserved forever. We have in our lap, you have in your lap, I have here at the pulpit, the Word of God. We believe at Heritage Baptist Church that the Word of God is preserved in the English language in the King James Bible. By that we mean that we believe the King James Bible to be the most honest translation. We still believe it to be the best translation. And listen, I believe absolutely that here at Heritage that it helps us keep continuity in the Sunday school classes. Everybody has the same Bible. And when you sit down in the congregation, it'll help if you have the same translation that I have so you can follow along or else you get lost. I don't mean lost as unsaved. I'm just saying, okay. You can't follow along. Amen? The Bible, the preserved Word of God. The preserved Word of God. You say, preacher, you believe the King James Version is infallible and errant? I believe absolutely it is. I believe it is preserved for us in the English language. The Word of God must be the foundation of the church because it makes us wise unto salvation. It brings about to us and shows us our lost condition. It proceeds from God. It is God's Word. God's Word. Not man's Word. God's Word. And then it profits the saints. It profits the saints. Back to our text verse there in 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Again, most of you, if you've been in church a while, have heard this verse 1,000 times. But there in verse 16, again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means God-breathed, that our Bible is from the mouth of God and is profitable. Boy, there's a catchphrase going around today. You see on every flyer and every promotional of any church today, usually you'll see the word on it somewhere, relevant. In fact, you'll probably see it on some of our promotional stuff, relevant. Can I tell you this morning, the Word of God is always relevant? If it don't matter who preaches it, it's relevant. It's relevant for today. Amen? If you want to know how to be a good daddy, read your Bible. If you want to learn how to be a good mama, read your Bible. If you want to know how to mind your finances, read the Bible. Amen. If you want to know how to treat your neighbor, read the Bible. If you want to know how to be a good employee, read your Bible. If you want to know how to be a good boss, read your Bible. The Word of God is our guide for life. It answers all the questions that you may have about life. Where we came from and where we're going. Amen. The Bible's profitable. Look there again. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Again, the Bible is profitable for doctrine. That is what is right. What is right? For reproof, that is what is not right. What is not right? So the Bible tells us what's right and what is not right. There's a lot of churches, they have a problem teaching that. The Bible absolutely tells us what is right. And then it does have some instructions to tell us what is not right. There are some rules there. By the way, those rules are put into place because God has our best interests in mind. Again, it's just like you're giving rules to your kids. You give rules to your kids to keep them from harming themselves. And God has set down some things for us to keep us from hurting ourselves. He has our best interests in mind. We shouldn't buck the system. We should follow Him. For correction, how to get right. Jesus says, if you will confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He tells you what is right, what is not right, and how to get right. And that's some of the job of the preacher and teachers in our Sunday school class as well, that when we teach and when we preach, we ought to be reproving, rebuking, and instructing with all long-suffering and righteousness. There ought to be a time when you come to church and get your toes stepped on. How to get right. Again, I believe if you attend Heritage Baptist Church over a period of 6 weeks and your toes aren't stepped on at some point, then I haven't done my job. I haven't preached. The Bible says when preaching, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Amen? And so if you attend another church and your toes never get stepped on, you're not in church. You're not getting preached to. You're hearing some motivational message that you got out of some motivational book. Man, we need preaching to sometimes. We should say, hey, here's what's right, here's what's not right. Now get right. I need that. You say, preacher, why do you attend so many fellowship meetings? Man, I need to get preached to. Boy, I tell you, this last one out of Brother Wiggins' church, it was some good preaching. And I made notes to myself. Hey, do this, do that. You need to stop doing that. I made notes to myself. We all need that kind of preaching. What is right? What is not right? How to get right? And then lastly, instruction in righteousness, how to keep it right. How to keep it right. You want to keep it right? Read the Word of God. Stay close to Jesus. Walk right beside Him. He'll walk beside you. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. The Word of God is profitable. Why should we have the Word of God as our foundation? Because it brings us and makes us wise in the salvation. It proceeds from God. It helps us and profits us as saints. And then the Bible says here that it perfects the saints. Look there with me, verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect there means complete. Means complete. It's the same Greek word used when Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. It is finished. Complete. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, we as Christians should be growing and changing to become more like Jesus. Our goal as a Christian is to be like Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, that He might conform us to the image of His Son. Romans 8:29. We are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. All the trials and all the tribulations, all the testings we go through, are conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. It's like He has taken, when we accept Christ as our Savior, it's like He took a block of wood. Have you ever seen that? You go to like a farmer's market or go to a flea market and you see those statues that some guy has taken a chainsaw. That's amazing, isn't it? How in the world could He take and carve that with a chainsaw? I know He uses other tools, but that's amazing. And so when you accept Christ as your Savior, as an illustration, it's like, again, you become a block of wood. And Jesus Christ, the Lord, takes throughout your life and He's just carving on you, creating, again, the image of Himself in you, that we might be more like Him. Sometimes he takes bigger cuts than at other times, right? Sometimes it may be just a chip. Hurts a little bit, but sometimes it's a chainsaw. Amen? Never been there, I guess. I've experienced a chainsaw a time or two. I like to use one a time. It's fun. But it's not fun when it's being used on you. Some of you guys when I was a kid, my papa hired me and my brother. I was like 13 and my brother would have been like 16 or whatever. And he hired us to come and clear out a river bottom on his place. Well, he was just being nice to his grandkids, right? Paid me like $50 a week, but I could have all I wanted to eat. And grandma could cook now. I'm telling you, could cook. Boy, I miss it. No, I don't. My wife cooks great. I'll be going home in a minute. I want to eat. But I'll never forget, I don't know that I've told the story, but I'll never forget we were down there working, and it was lunchtime, of course, and Grandma, Danny, Eric, that's pretty close to how she sounded. It's time to eat. And we get up there, and we eat, and Pawpaw always took a nap after lunch. I mean, that was just part of it, so we decided to take a nap. Of course, my Pawpaw wasn't there. So about 2 o'clock, you could hear the truck driving the driveway. Me and my brother didn't have our shoes on. Man, when we heard the door close on the truck, whoo, we took off out the back door, running through the cow lot. About the time we were fixing to jump the fence on the cow lot, Pawpaw started yelling, "What are y'all doing?" But anyway, that was a great story. But there were several times when we were down there with that chainsaw that my brother, on especially one occasion, chainsaw hit his britches. You know what I'm saying? And just caused a gash in his britches. And my grandma just griped my papa out up and down. "You endangering my grandkids." She was always protecting us. But man, it's tough. Chainsaw's tough. Sometimes God is just working on us more so than at other times. Understand, He's conforming us to the image of His Son. God is working on us. Conforming us, perfecting us. That word again means completing us. Now, the term for that is sanctification. It means that at the time of salvation, from that point of salvation, when you accept Christ as your Savior, that you are, as you walk with the Lord, you are being sanctified. You are through the process of sanctification. And then one day when we get to heaven, we will be glorified. And then we will be complete. But He is working on us at various times in our life to conform us to the image of His Son. The Word of God is foundational in that it perfects us, it completes us, it grows us in the Lord. The Bible is referred to as the bread of life. It's referred to as the water of life. This is the bread. This is the meat. This is how we grow. If you want to grow as a Christian, you're going to have to read your Bible. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to, and I'm going to have to, we're going to have to be consistent in that Bible reading. If you truly want to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to read the Bible. It's foundational in your process of Christian life, in your process of growing in Him. The Word of God perfects the saints. And lastly, the Word of God prosecutes the society. This is a tough one. Prosecutes society. In other words, look at chapter 4. Verse 1, he says, "I charge thee therefore before God the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." He says, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Don't preach your opinions. Don't preach, your biases, but preach the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Notice what preaching is now. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why is preaching being set aside today for other things? A lot of churches today have taken the pulpit, if you would, figuratively speaking, and put it to the side and have allowed all the other things on the platform to become primary. Young Timothy preached the Word. And then when they do, and listen, we're not angry at anybody. I'm just pointing this out. The Bible says I'm the pastor of the church. I'm the shepherd of the flock. One of my jobs as a shepherd is to warn you, to make you aware of things. I just, again, when I mention these things, I'm not trying to to be disagreeable. Amen. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to warn you. Listen, we got to be very, very careful. Reason why people, society as a whole, do not want to hear true Bible preaching is because it bothers them. Because it prosecutes society. It shows what's not right. It shows what is right. And people don't like to be told what to do. I don't. Right? Then we have to submit to the Word of God. And so when it's being preached in such a way that it's saying, hey, you need to correct this, and you need to correct that, and you need to correct this, when it was being preached that way, and that's the way he was told to preach it, reprove, rebuke, exhort, when it's being preached that way, and it's not just being there preached just to exhort all the time, but there's a balance there, then it causes feelings on the inside that sometimes aren't very pleasant. I'm trying to say it nicely. Amen? Right? But listen, again, as I've said before, Paul said, listen, reprove, rebuke, exhort, preach the Word of God. He told Jeremiah, he said, don't even look at their eyes when you preach. Don't look at their eyes when you preach. Just preach the Word of God. Some won't listen to you. Look at what else it says there in chapter 4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. We are living in the last days. We're living in a day in which, again, a lot of preachers and teachers of all denominations, including Baptists, are simply getting in the pulpit and itching the ears of the congregation. Sometimes it's because the preacher wants to get paid that week. Sometimes it's just simply because the man in the pulpit or the teachers in the Sunday school want to be patted on the back and never want to ruffle any feathers. I absolutely believe there ought to be balance. He says to exhort as well, with all long-suffering. Right? Reprove, rebuke, exhort, be long-suffering. So, 50-50, amen? And I don't believe a pastor ought to get up in the pulpit and shear the sheep every time. Hello? Right? You can only do that so long. There needs to be a balance. But there needs to be a balance. You know? There needs to be this side and this side. We need both. And let's put ourselves in that position. Whether it's Kelly Clark teaching, or Brother Henderson teaching, Brother Harry Shepherd teaching, Miss Obenauer teaching, the Fieslers teaching our adults in Sunday school. They should have every right, and they do, to teach and preach what is found in the Word of God, no matter what it may be. We should preach and teach the whole counsel of God, not just what makes people feel good, and not what just makes people feel bad either. And again, we can disagree without being disagreeable. And the Bible says preach the truth in love, and we ought to be loving and kind and long-suffering when we teach and preach, but we ought to teach and preach the whole counsel of God. That's the point. It prosecutes society. We're living in a day and time which people do not endure sound doctrine. And churches have become seeker-sensitive in every way. Listen, the Heritage Baptist Church is not a seeker-sensitive church in any way. We do not follow that plan or that program. We are not seeker-sensitive. We are Christ-sensitive. What pleases the Lord Jesus Christ is what we want to do. The music that we believe will please the Lord Jesus Christ is the music we want to put forth here at Heritage Baptist Church, not necessarily what may please the congregation. We want to teach and preach what will please the Lord and not necessarily what pleases the congregation. Our job is not to please the hearer, but to please the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's Heritage Baptist Church. The Word of God is the foundation of Heritage Baptist Church. The Word of God should be the foundation of our lives. We should know it. We should read it and know it. We should know this book like any other book. It was said of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a short, stubby, stocky man. Miss Watson laughed first. He also couldn't speak very good. He couldn't say reprove, rebuke, and exhort. I always have a problem with that verse. I don't know why. Like that verse over there that we are peculiar people. I got it right that time, but I may not get it right next. He had a hard time. He couldn't say two-syllable words. He said them all in one syllable. Instead of Jerusalem, he'd say Jerusalem. I mean, that's the way he spoke. And when people would listen to him, they'd be like, what in the world? But then they listen a little longer, and they listen a little longer, and they listen a little longer, and they found out, you know what? D.L. Moody walks with God. D.L. Moody was an evangelist in the 1800s. D.L. Moody walked with God. How did he walk with God? By reading the Word of God. What was said of D.L. Moody over and over and over again, and he said of himself, I am a man of one book. I am a man of one book. We ought to be people of one book. I'm guilty of this as well. We spend a lot of time reading other books. But we should spend as much time reading this book. And when it comes to teaching, as our adult classes and Sunday school teachers and children's church workers, as it comes to teaching, we should teach this and not the opinions of some man. Be a person of one book. Know the Bible. Know the Bible. Can you find Habakkuk right now in your Bible without looking at the table of contents? Right? Can you? Know the Bible. Know it. Stand on it. I would throw it down and stand up, but I'm not going to do that. I'll do it to the songbook. Stand on the Word of God. Love it. Love it. Cherish it then. Cherish it. Hold it close to your heart. Hide it in your heart. The Word of God is the foundation. Is the Word of God the foundation of your life this morning? Do you know the Bible? Are you standing upon the book? Do you love the book? Are you walking with God this morning? Let's stand on the book, not on some man's opinion. We at Heritage Baptist Church want a Bible-based ministry, and we have that. A Bible-based ministry. A back-to-the-basics mentality. The Bible is the sole authority in all of our faith and practice. Everything we do. Amen? Let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation this morning.